Like you to take note of the subject matter. I'll be continuing on the ministry of the Holy Spirit today as I began last week. I'm not going to cover a lot of things from last week. I encourage you to listen to the message online to catch up if you would like to, but don't want to repeat everything that I shared last week. But I will say this, that the Holy Spirit is God's gift to us. He is God's gift to help us in this life, that he comes alongside of us to help us. And we are in process. Two of our small groups are entitled The Baptism of the Holy Spirit, which doesn't just cover the baptism, but it covers many other things. And it is a powerful teaching by Rick Renner. And it is challenging and encouraging. It's still not too late for you to plug in. We're in lesson three at our house tonight, and Angie's in lesson three on Tuesday at 1. So we encourage you to plug in to the small groups to help you get to know people and to grow together, to pray together, you make some friends, and encourage you to be a part of that. The ministry of the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God. As we established last week, for those who don't understand this, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Holy Trinity. And the Holy Spirit is revealed in creation with the Father and the Son. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 2 says this, that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. That is good theology right there. And it flies in the face of modernistic secular teaching that somehow the world and all that is, including mankind, the animals, the fish, the birds, all just suddenly banged into somehow colliding atoms and so on and turned into suddenly we're here over a course of billions of years. And, you know, it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe God's word, which is truth. I'm just going to say it gets pretty ridiculous when you start looking at some of the theories by so-called scientists who think that they know better than God. But my Bible says, in the beginning, God created. God created. Say, God created. God created the heavens and the earth. All that is that was created by him and through him, and it was created for his glory. The earth, it says, in the beginning was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep of the waters. How many know that God is light? And wherever the light is, the darkness flees. Well, it says, goes on to say, and the Spirit of God, say the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Now, literally in the Hebrew, my understanding is from reading books about this and scholarly writings is when it talks about hovering or moving, vibrating, it's all inadequate to be interpreted into English. It literally means that the Spirit of God was doing more than just hovering, more than just watching, more than just floating. The Holy Spirit was literally in great power moving on the face of the waters and on the face of the earth to accomplish something incredible that's impossible for man to conceive or comprehend with their natural minds. The Spirit of God was moving on the face, on the surface of the waters. And then God said, the Father God said, he spoke the word. The word comes out of God's mouth. There is the word of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Son is the living word that came down from heaven. You see a beautiful picture of the Trinity here in the creation. The Spirit of God was hovering on the surface of the face. God spoke. The word of God, Father spoke, let there be light, and there was light, just like that. Can I tell you how powerful that is? Is whatever God speaks, happens. He has creative power. It is infinite power, unlimited power. He is omnipotent, as is described by theologians of his innate character and his power, his abilities. He can speak, and everything happens. And it says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, the Gospel of John, when it moves into this, talking about, again, about creation. In the beginning, the Word already existed. And he's talking about the Word of God, the Christ, the Son of God. It always existed. Never was a time in all eternity when the Trinity was not in existence. Now, that's hard up here for our minds to comprehend or even to somehow understand, but it simply means that God is in eternity. He is not bound by time or space. Time and space are created things to help us to somehow navigate through and put some order in our world. But God is not bound by time or space. And it says in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, the Father, and God the Spirit, and the Word was God. And can I say, He was, is, and always will be God. Amen. He is eternal. He always will be. There will never be a time when God will expire. He is referred to in Scripture as the ever-living one. No beginning, no end. And that gives me hope, because when He says that I've prepared a place for those who love me to go to my Father's house where there are many mansions, and there you'll dwell with me for eternity. I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you come through me, you can go there. Can I just tell you that it's not temporary residence? We're not going to be evicted. The house isn't going to collapse in a storm. There's never going to be a time when we will not be with God. From the time we receive Him as Savior and Lord, the Holy Spirit is imparted to us, not to just be with us, but to be in us, the hope of glory. And that Holy Spirit inside of us is the same power that raised Christ from the dead after being dead, expired 3 days, three nights in the tomb. Instantly, He came alive, and the Word of God says the same power that raised Him from the dead now is dwelling in you. Amen. Can I tell you something? That I don't deserve that. I like what Andy and his brother say. I think your dad probably used to say it. Andy is, you say, how are you doing? And what do you guys say? Better than I deserve. And it's not empty words. I know you mean it. Because we don't deserve it. We don't deserve to be forgiven. No, we don't. There's not one person in here who deserves forgiveness. But guess what? God makes forgiveness available if you appropriate it by faith and say, yes, God, forgive me. Come on. Forgive me. God, I receive your forgiveness. And you know, the Word of God says, freely you receive, freely give. You know, we're quick to receive the gifts of God, the forgiveness of God, but it's a lot harder to give it out. Somebody say amen. But can I tell you something? That the Holy Spirit helps us. He gives us grace, the power to do as we ought to do, to be able to forgive. These are some of the ministries. What does the Holy Spirit do? Well, I can't write a little sermon, a 3-point sermon, or a 2-point sermon, or a 10-point sermon on everything the Holy Spirit does. But He helps us to do the things that within our own power and our own emotions we cannot do, we don't want to do, but He gives us the power of grace to be able to do it, and He also gives us the desire to want to do it because we want to be pleasing to God. I'm talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And if you belong to Christ, He will move you, motivate you, encourage you, prompt you, convict you, convince you to do the right thing in God's eyes, the right thing to do. Come on. And so, you know, He was the Word with God. He was the Word. He is the Word. Always will be the Word. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything. Say everything. Everything through Him, through Christ. And nothing was created except through Him. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Trinity. The Holy Spirit is revealed in His baptism, in Christ's baptism. And we touched on this a little bit last week, but Matthew chapter 3, 16 through 17 says, after Jesus was baptized by John, you remember, Jesus came, John's baptizing, a baptism unto repentance at the Jordan River. Jesus comes on the scene. He says, baptize me. And John says, no, I'm not worthy to baptize you. I'm not worthy to unlatch your sandals. you need to baptize me. And Jesus said, no, all righteousness needs to be fulfilled. Now, here's a little thing about water baptism. If you haven't been water baptized since you have believed, you need to do that. Listen, Jesus didn't need to be baptized, but he was, to set an example of righteousness. And so we need to follow through with that command to be baptized after we believe. But after his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, it was by immersion, put under the water, came up out of the water, listen to this, the heavens were opened, and he saw, looked up into the heavens, the Spirit of God descending like a dove, not a dove, but like a dove, gentle and humble, and settling upon him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. If you have a problem with the Father, Son, with the Trinity, you know, it's a mystery, but here's another example of that, and I could give you other examples. So the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead, and so he is God. He is thoroughly God, and he is in us the hope of glory. One day our body and soul and spirit, we're going to feel the touch of God when Jesus comes in the eastern sky, coming in the clouds. He is going to rapture his church up one day. And the Bible says those who are dead in Christ, who have expired in this life, your body is in the ground. I don't care if you've been cremated. I don't care if you're lost at sea. The Spirit of God, the trumpet of God, and the archangel of God is going to give a shout, and you're going to rise the dead in Christ first, coming up to the heavens to meet him in the air. The Bible says we who are alive and remain will catch up with them. We're going to be up there too and see him face to face. He's going to take us. He's going to rapture us. And I'm excited about that. That is only possible because God sent the Holy Spirit to live within us, to raise us up. And there is eternal life even after death. Death is not the final chapter in anyone's life who has trusted in Christ as Savior. So he is also the promise of the Father, the promised Spirit. Now Jesus said in John chapter 14, verses 15 through 18, if you love me, now, I always circle when there's a condition, if, I circle that, because it doesn't say when you love me, it says if you love me. You remember Jesus asked Peter after Peter failed, after he denied Christ three times on the night that Jesus was arrested, betrayed by Judas? And after Jesus' resurrection, as I said last week, Jesus came alive and he told his disciples, hey, tell them to meet me here and tell Peter I'm looking for him. Remember that? Have you ever failed God and you knew you sinned, you knew you really screwed up, and the Holy Spirit in your heart, this is what happens. Your Holy Spirit in your heart is saying, you need to come meet with me. That's the Spirit of Jesus saying, come on, come out of the shadows. Come here, come out of the bushes. Throw those ridiculous fig leaves away. I know you're naked. I made that body. I know you're ashamed. I know you don't feel worthy. Are you listening? Holy Spirit says these things. He breathes them into our soul. And our mind is arguing, saying, no, can't be. God doesn't want me. God hates me. That's what the devil used to tell me. But God speaks truth through the Holy Spirit. He's referred to, one of us is the Spirit of truth. You know, we need truth in our culture today. There's a lot of lies going on. There's a lot of innuendo and accusations and all kinds of things going on. I mean, we're in an election year. Don't you hate election years? So it's just like lies, smear, mudslinging. And it happens in the church, too. And that's a shame. But the Holy Spirit leads and guides us into truth. He wants to encourage us, motivate us, prompt us. When we fail, go to the Lord. Don't hide in the bushes. You know what the devil loves you to do? To hide in the bushes. He's the author of shame and guilt and lies, false accusations. That's all characteristics of the devil spoken of in the Word of God. And so come out of the shadows. Press into the light. God already knows what you did. It's no surprise to Him. Just go. I mean, fall on your face before the cross. Cry out to Him for mercy. He loves to show mercy. He loves to relent from sending judgment. He loves it when you repent. Do you know there's a time even Ahab, one of the most wicked kings in Israel, that there was a short little space of time when Ahab repented and God was ready to send judgment. And in a conversation, God was talking and He said, you know, have you noticed Ahab? And God was like, wow. Have you noticed that he's in sackcloth and ashes? Now, it didn't last long because Ahab couldn't help himself but to keep doing evil. I mean, he could if he asked God to help him. But God was impressed with Ahab. God loves to relent from sending judgment. Do you love to relent from sending your judgment? See, we should be reflecting the character of Christ. Do we always do that? Oh, no, we don't, because there's still a lot of flesh in us. But the longer we live for Jesus, the more we ought to be like Him, and certainly should be striving to be. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so here He is. If you obey me, and obey my, love me, and obey my commandments. And in fact, Jesus equated love with obedience. You all know that? Do you read your Bible? I hope you do. Verse 16 says, and I will ask the Father, I will do this. God says, I'll take responsibility for this. And He, and can I tell you, God doesn't have memory problems. Jesus didn't have a memory lapse. Jesus said, I will ask my Father, and He will. Jesus knew that if He asked His Father anything, God would do it. We were having a garage sale over the last few days, and our daughter and eventually our son-in-law came, and the four grandchildren were here from Shano, and I have a granddaughter who sees everything, and her eyes dance. And, Grandma, can I have this? Grandma, can I have this? Grandma, oh, these teddy bears, Grandma. You know, oh, there's one for me, there's one for her cousin, one for this other cousin, one. She's got it all divvied up, and it was like, I just want to tell her, just take the stuff. I don't care, just get it out of here. And I said, hey, Julie, Mark, you know, can they get some things? We don't need more junk. And I just said, well, my stuff is not junk. Okay. Okay, your stuff is junk, mine's not. But anyway, so they can have one thing. So she picked out this thing she wanted, and pretty soon she goes, oh, Grandpa, there's a package of doll hair. I bought that for myself years ago. For my dolls. Okay, and she says, can I just trade my one thing? And I said, no, you can take that and put it in your basket, and you tell your dad I said it was fine. I'm Grandpa. God wants us to have all good things. He wants to bless us. He wants to give. God is a giver. He promised us. Jesus promises, hey, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father. I'm going to ask my Father, and I know He's going to do it. You can be endued with power from on high. You can have resurrection power in you so that when you die one day and your body goes into the ground, that He's going to resurrect you the same way He resurrected me, and you're going to meet me in the air, and you're going to be with me forever. That's the anointing that breaks the yoke of death. The yoke of death has been broken by the power of His cross. And He is giving us the Holy Spirit. And He says, and He will give you. He will do it. No doubt about it. He's going to do it, and He'll give you another advocate. Jesus was the first advocate. He was defending the disciples. He was defending His children. And He says He's going to give you another. He's going to do what I do, only He's going to do it everywhere at all time. the Spirit of God. And you know what else Jesus said? He's going to be your advocate, but he's also never going to leave you. Has anybody ever been in a really dark place? Have you been in a lonely place? Have you been in a place that is just dark and you just wonder, God, how am I ever getting out? How did I get in here and how am I ever going to get out? Sometimes you know how you got there and it's your own fault. And that makes you, what did I say earlier? Want to back up into the shadows? Because I don't deserve for God to help me. I did this to myself. I shot myself in the foot. I knew what I was doing was wrong. I did it anyway. You know what God loves? He loves it when you just say that to him. He already knows it anyway. He already knows it. And he's just waiting for you to come to him and say, God, I screwed up again. I always say again. Maybe you do too, because it's again. The psalmist David, one of my favorite things David said in his psalms was, God, please remember we're just dust. Please remember we're frail. Please remember we're not perfect. Please remember that we have flesh to deal with. God, forgive us for our emotions sometimes. Forgive us for the things we say sometimes. I know the Bible says we're going to be held accountable for every idle word spoken. You know, that scares me to death. But I fall on the mercy of God. God, forgive me. Now, he qualifies it here because he says, here's what the Spirit will do. He will never leave you. You're never going to be alone. I've known guys who went to prison, either found Christ or rediscovered their faith when they screwed up and they turned to God, and guess what? God was there just like that. And the darkness of that cell and of that moment suddenly was lit up by the bright light of God. God is love. God is light. The Spirit of Jesus shows up in those cells. I've heard testimonies over the years, read stories, true stories of men and women who were in prison when they turned to the Lord. I mean, a lot of times, Andy's going to give a Gideon's Bible 10-minute window of Gideon Bibles in a couple of weeks. Well, actually next week when I'm on vacation. And I've heard stories of somebody who got a Gideon Bible in prison. I don't know if most prisons, I don't think they'll let them have it anymore. That's a shame. But it's this guy who was a lifelong criminal, horrible person, opened it up and began reading from the book of John. He didn't have anything else to do. He was in solitary and went through reading it. And he described literally an incredible light that appeared in that cell and lit up. Every smidgen of darkness was gone, literally. And Jesus stood before him, reaching out to him. And he got saved and delivered and called into ministry. Now, he couldn't minister outside, so he became a minister right where he was at. You know, God wants to use you right where you're at. You know, someday I'm going to retire, but God's still going to use me right where I'm at. Right where I'm at. Because you don't retire from serving God. So glory to God. And that's the Spirit of God. He comes to us. He gives to us. He forgives us. He lights up the darkness in our life. And Jesus said he's going to come and he's going to lead you into all truth. And you know what else Jesus said in another place? He said that you shall know the truth and the truth shall do what? So who's going to lead us into truth? The Holy Spirit. Who's going to set us free because we find the truth? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your friend. Cherish, honor, adore, court with your worship and your prayers and your adoration to God the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. He is a person. Let him know you love him. That you need him. He wants to glorify Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He points you to Jesus and says, glorify the Son of God who redeemed you with his own blood. And so when we're praising God, the Holy Spirit comes inside of us and manifests and causes us to emote with love for God and appreciation for Him. I hope you cherish the Holy Spirit that comes to you at conversion, but the Holy Spirit is the second blessing who comes to you in the baptism of the Holy Spirit when you seek Him and ask Him to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So He's going to lead you into all truth. And He qualifies it then by saying the world cannot, say cannot, receive Him because they aren't looking for Him. You don't seek after what you don't understand or don't know. Or if other people, through motivation from a demonic spirit from hell, criticize and make up things, accusations against the saints of God and against the church, and make up things about Jesus and God and tell you things that aren't true about God. See, God has been lied about. Satan's a liar and an accuser from the beginning. The world can't receive Him because it isn't looking for Him, and sometimes they don't want Him because of negative things they've heard that are not true, and they don't recognize Him. They wouldn't know Him if they saw Him on the street, so to speak. But He says, but, say but, you know Him. You know Him. And I'm going to tell you, everybody here today watching online, if you have received Jesus as Savior, you know Him. You have tasted of His goodness, and it is sweeter than honey. You know Him. Once you know Him, you can never forget Him or deny Him. Those who put their trust in Him, the Word says, will not be disappointed. There may be things you don't understand. God, why? I don't get this, God. But I will tell you one thing. When you have the Spirit of God in you, you will come back to true north like a compass. He's my true north. You know Him. How do you know Him? Because He lives with you now. He is God with you. He's Emmanuel. He is God with you. You know Him. And later, say later. We are in the later, by the way. We don't have to wait till later. We are the later. We are living in that day. Later, He will be in you. And Jesus said, no, I'm not going to abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. How? Through the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask the Father, and He will do this. He'll give the Holy Spirit when I go to the Father and ask Him, and then He's going to lead you and guide you into all truth. He is going to be your advocate, your protector. He's going to defend you. He's going to be there for you and help you, come alongside to help you. And you know what else He's going to do? He's going to be in you the hope of glory. He is me in spiritual form. So, again, going back to last week, the Holy Spirit is our advocate. And we talked about that word advocate, and I encourage you to listen to last week's lesson. But the Holy Spirit is our advocate. Literally in the Greek, it's a paraclete. He comes alongside of us to help us, to assist us in our daily lives. From the moment the Holy Spirit takes up residence in our hearts, we can continuously rely on His partnership, say partnership, to help us overcome, say overcome, any obstacles we might face in life. Any obstacles. Doesn't say some, it says any obstacles you have in life. That He will come alongside and help you. Now, He may not do it the way you think He should do it or fix it the way you think it should be fixed. How do we like, don't we like to micromanage God? Huh? Come on. God isn't micromanaged. God always does what is right. And sometimes it's not exactly to our liking, but you know what I like to say? Get over it. He doesn't fit into our mold. We are supposed to be molded and shaped into the character of His mold, which is Christ, in the character of Christ. I don't know about you, but I'm still on that journey. In fact, I do know about you. You're on the journey too. Okay? Secondly, the Holy Spirit is our counselor. Counselor. Anybody ever need counseling? I have. I think for 20 years I went to Nick. And you know what? He didn't have, like Lucy Van Pelt, he didn't have a sign up there, the doctor is in, but he was always in. He didn't ask me to put a nickel in the can either, which is nice. But I'll tell you what, Nick, you were a help to me. And you're still my friend. And I'll tell you, he was a friend to many of you and a help to you as well during a hard time. You got to have somebody to talk to. And you know, Nick is the only person I can think of in my life, except my brother, who's my best friend and my partner in faith. I said, Nick, there came a time once I got to know you. I said, Nick, you have my permission to tell me anything you want to tell me about myself. And I will listen to you because I trust you and I know you love me. You remember that? Yeah. And he was good to that. You know, there's a lot of people who want to tell you all about your faults, but they don't really love you. You know, we got to have somebody we can go to. And the Holy Spirit will help you find that person. A true friend tells you the truth about yourself in love. A fair weather friend agrees with you about everything. If you really love somebody, like Nick loves me, he would tell me the truth. My brother would tell me the truth. Amen? And I say, Roger Whittam always told me the truth. If you know Roger, he told everybody the truth. Oh, what a character. But we need a counselor. And what does the word say? John 14:26. But when the Father sends, not if he sends him. Did you notice that? Did you notice that in the Word of God? When he sends him, not if. Because remember, Jesus said, he will do it if I ask him. When he sends the advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit. Just so you're wondering, is the advocate, who's the advocate? He's the Holy Spirit. He will do what? He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. So the Holy Spirit is our helper. He is the one who will help us with our memory problems during times of difficulty. We forget what we need to remember. That's just part of our humanness. In our distress, in our emotional, sometimes becoming distraught over things, we forget what we know. And the Holy Spirit, from my experience, always comes alongside in the course of time and then reminds me of what I forgot. And it's like, why'd you forget that? You know that. And can I just say, it's because we're human. We forget. And so the Holy Spirit is here. Rick Renner tells the story behind the success of the Russian Tsar Peter the Great. I love history, American history primarily. I love world history too. Peter the Great, he was very, very young. I don't want to tell you the whole story. We don't have time for that. When he was had ascended to the throne, actually to serve with his brother, who was really supposed to be the boss, but because he was older, but the brother was mentally ill. He was off, and so eventually Peter became czar in his own right by himself. But he was very young. In fact, I remember, was he about 7 years old, maybe 10, somewhere around there? I read the story a few weeks ago. But he was ascending to the throne, and because he was so young, so they made something in his throne. Listen, this is what they did. It was fascinating. They cut a hole, made an opening behind the seat of the throne where the young Peter, the young czar, sat upon the throne. And the opening was made for so that Peter's half-sister, the brains behind it, and rather power-hungry, her name was Sophia, she could sit behind the young czar, hidden from the public, and privately provide him with correct responses to questions and comments made to him by visiting dignitaries and diplomats. And so, as young Peter listened to his sister's words spoken quietly to him through the veil that was there covering the hole, as he in turn communicated what he'd heard from her to those who approached him, there was an impression given by everyone who met with him that he was intellectually powerful, even at this early age. Amazing wisdom. How many know behind every good man, there's a powerful man, there's a woman, a good woman, right? Amen? And so intellectually powerful, they thought, he is so sharp and he is so wise. But the truth was that the young Peter was brilliant. He was intelligent and bright in his own eyes. But his sister, although unseen, was the real power behind the throne in these formative years of his life. That's a beautiful picture of what the Holy Spirit does. He is there, whispering to us right responses. And people think you're smarter than what you really are. Because, and if, you follow the wisdom of the Holy Spirit telling you what to do. He whispers, don't say that. He knows what we're thinking. He says, don't put that into words. How many always listen? No, we don't. But if we would listen, there's a lot of things we wouldn't say out loud. And because we don't say them out loud, there's a lot of things we would repent for because we're thinking them. See, the Holy Spirit isn't just about what you do, it's about what you're thinking about doing. He wants to help us display, put on show the character of Christ. But we got to listen. He's like Peter the Great's sister behind him whispering, Holy Spirit saying, don't say that. Don't do that. Okay? If we had just listened, we'd be a lot better off. I wish I'd listened to a lot of things that people told me that I looked up to. How about you? Jesus told his disciples what to do when they faced difficult circumstances when he was with them, which they didn't know what, and they didn't know what to say or how to respond. In fact, Luke chapter 12, 11 and 12 says, and when, again, not if, okay, and when you are brought to trial in the synagogues and before rulers and authorities, don't worry about how to defend yourself or what to say. For the Holy Spirit will, say will, he will teach you. That's really what a counselor does. You teach people how to be overcomers, how to overcome difficulties and problems. You teach people how to look within to see how you contributed to your own problems. A good counselor, a godly counselor, will teach you how to quit blaming other people for your difficulties and take responsibility yourself. Amen? He will teach you at that time what needs to be said. That is the Holy Spirit's ministry. So notice Jesus said, take no thought to how or what thing you're going to answer, how you're going to answer. And this doesn't mean that Jesus was advocating mindlessness or putting your brain in park or sticking in the garage and just reacting, but rather he was simply saying that there is no need for us to be anxious or worried in those moments because the Holy Spirit will be the unseen presence advising us what to say and what to do. And again, I'll say, problem is our emotions get into the way of that. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back as we close today. And I'm going to finish this up in a few weeks. And we're going to talk about how the Holy Spirit convicts us. And he convicts us and he also convinces us of what is right and what is God's will. He convicts and convinces us. Convicts and convinces us. I can tell you we need a counselor when we are perplexed by life's problems, when we don't know how to get out of a situation that maybe we got ourselves into it. We need a counselor who will lead us and guide us in truth and not fantasy, not play into it. You know, modern psychiatry, I was taught many years ago in a seminar I went to how they are teaching you, Nick, you'll probably relate to this, is that it's like a balanced scale. And you're down in guilt, and shame, anger, hurt, unforgiveness, bitterness. And just to make it real simple, is tell me about your childhood. Tell me about your father, your mother. Tell me, oh, you don't need to feel guilty about this because your father or this person, someone outside the family, your uncle or this person did this to you, so you are right to feel that way. Put some more weight on this side to make you feel better. And oh, that time when you were a child and that happened at school when that bully did this, you don't need to feel bad about being bitter. You have a right to be bitter. More weight. And pretty soon the balance is even. The depression is gone. The seminar that I went to sharing about this said that because guilt is a function of the spirit caused by sin, we need forgiveness for it and deliverance from it, that when we try to justify our sin so that we feel better, that eventually that person starts feeling bad all over again, and they got to go back to the psychiatrist or the therapist, and they start the process over again. Listen, we need to take accountability for our sin and go to the Lord and ask Him to forgive us. He wants to forgive us. He wants to cleanse us. Okay? You can't do anything about people who won't forgive. Okay? That's on them. But we can do something about ourselves who needs forgiven by God. Okay? We need forgiven by God. I need forgiveness every day. Every day. I love the scripture that says His tender mercies are new every morning. Because I need it every day. Multiple times in the day, actually. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, thank You for the power and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank You for the Spirit of Jesus that is so gracious and so kind, so gentle, so loving, so full of mercy and tenderness. To those of us, we don't deserve it at all. But You just give and give and give. And Lord, it makes my head spin trying to figure it out. But Lord, many years ago, I stopped trying to figure it out and just thought, it is what it is. I'm just going to take it. Who wouldn't? Just going to take You at Your word, God. Cleanse me, forgive me. Fill me, deliver me, break yokes of bondage off my mind and my heart. Are you praying this with me? Lord, deliver me. Speak to me through the veil. Words of wisdom and knowledge. Prompt me and turn my heart away from doing the things in the flesh that I want to do. Turn my anger into submission to You. Father, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 If you're here visiting, we have an informal dismissal at noon, but we're going to worship. And I think just like last week, I think instead of anointers coming for prayer to pray for you, I want you to just come and pray. Would you do that? Would you come to the altar and pray and just seek God? Would you do that? So many times we go to the altar to get something. Can we go to the altar to give something? To surrender anew and afresh our hearts and our lives, our future and our hopes and dreams to God? Can we do that? I'm pleading with you to seek the face of God. Okay? Not just on Sunday, but especially during worship, especially during altar time. We need God.